Eagles Insider Dave Spadaro along with Glenn Macnell. It's Eagles 360. We're live Monday through Friday, 5 o'clock on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We got a lot of football here in the next week and a couple of days. Exciting. I'm not giving up hope on this football team. I know that it is disappointing to be 4-5. It is unsettling to be 4-5. It is underachieving to be 4-5.
A lot of uns.
But the fact is,
unhappy.
But, yeah, no doubt. But the division is unclaimed.
Yes, it is. And the Giants almost beat the Patriots.
Doesn't
but in
matter.
The end, they did not, and they lost. And Dallas is 2-7. And I don't believe in Washington.
I don't believe in Washington, but they're playing hard football.
I know they are,
and they're also in the mix. So it's what the NFL wants. And even Dallas, in theory, is still alive in the NFC East.
Yeah, well, they believe so.
Yeah.
I don't think Dallas is alive.
All right, you've got some takeaways from Miami.
I do. So here you go. Here's number one. Number one is Jason Peters needs to get healthy fast, and let's hope he does. We all wondered after one game how Dennis Kelly was going to do. Well, the answer is he had one real good game against Dallas, not so much. And Lane Johnson, who had looked so good on the left side the week before, really looked poor against Miami. Four quarterback hits he allowed, another penalty. Jason Peters, I don't know what's wrong, but man, get healthy soon.
And the good news is that on Tuesday, today, he was on the practice field. He was getting loose. And Jason Peters, prior to the game on Sunday, was on the field. It looked like he was going to give it a go, at least would be in uniform when the Eagles announced their inactives 90 minutes before kickoffs. Jason Peters among them, and you saw the toll that took on the offensive line. I agree with you.
Jason, all around.
A healthy, dominant Jason Peters makes so much difference for this Eagles offense.
All right, so here you go. Here's number two, and it's kind of related, too. It's separate from that, but as long as we're going down the line, this offseason, the Eagles really are going to have to put an emphasis on the interior offensive line. It was a very tough day for Matt Tobin, and it was, again, another really tough day for Jason Kelce. Would he have three penalties, a bad snap? He had a rough time all day with Sue and Ndamukong Suh. Certainly, as we look ahead, we look back and we look ahead, interior of the offensive line is going to need some revamping this offseason.
Tampa Bay is not to be trifled with inside, with Gerald McCoy leading the way. That defensive front is young, it's powerful, it's very fast. They stop the run, they're really stout in the 4-3 alignment. Tampa Bay's got a really good front seven. The Eagles' offensive line will be challenged on Sunday.
All right, here you go. Here's number three, and I want to throw something. Kind of a word of tribute to somebody, and this is the week to do it. Brent Celek, boy, had a terrific day. 140 yards passing, three catches for 120 in the first, 134 overall. And Brent Celek is just the guy who's the ultimate Eagle. He's been here a long time. He does whatever you need him to do. And beyond that, he's a great guy in the community. I did a charity thing with him last Monday that was his event. And it was great to see, even as they lose, Brent Celek have a 100-yard receiving day. 8 years apart. Great to see him do it.
Yeah, and you know, he's been able to stand the test of time. He's turned himself from early in his career, a pass catcher, really involved going down the field, making plays, into a blocker, an inline blocker, which is not easy to do. He's added strength, and then he's lost weight as his career has gone along, and he still has maintained that technique inside as a blocker. Now he gets featured in the pass game against Miami and did a terrific job. I, too, agree with you. One of the all-time Eagles since I've been covering this football
Absolutely.
Team. High tribute to Brent Celek.
All right, I think we may have a little room for debate on the last two. It was nice to see Michael Kendricks be productive in this game. Seven tackles, had the sack, really did help on the pass rush. Kiko Alonso still working his way back in. D'Amico Ryans, I thought, had a tough day against the run. He's still working his way back in. As you lose Jordan Hicks, you're going to need a lot more production inside linebacker. It was nice to see a productive game out of Michael Kendricks.
Yeah, I think Michael is still a bit inconsistent, still at times undisciplined against the run. I really liked seeing him come off the edge and go get the quarterback. He's got that great burst. I'd love to see more packages with him rushing off the edge, because I think that's one element that this defense is lacking, and that's a pure edge rusher. So while Kendricks certainly has improved since he came back from his injury, I have such a high standard for him that I want to see him really in the backfield a lot more, particularly against the run. The run defense, Glenn, is going to be tested this week.
It is going to be tested. They're pretty good.
The quarterback is
back to what he was as a rookie.
And the quarterback's mobile.
He is. He's not rushing for a lot of yards yet, but he can move around. All right, so here you go with number five. I would say, and this is looking ahead to the, I believe this week, if you're going to have Sanchez start, and I expect that he will, I think Chip Kelly is going to have to be a little more conservative on the play call with Mark Sanchez.
What do you mean?
Well, here's what I mean. Mark Sanchez is the guy we know who can move a team but is prone to some interceptions at inopportune times. The play that I think a lot of people are talking about, and I will be among them, you'll probably disagree, that attempted pass that was the interception in the end zone, I thought, boy, you've got an opportunity there. Run that ball. Run it in. You can score that way. If you don't, you get the field goal, you take the lead late. I liked the way the defense was playing. I didn't like a pass into the middle of the end zone with those wide receivers and that quarterback at that time. I remember Joe Gibbs once said, I did a profile on him, and he once said to me, you got to coach the players you have, not the players you wish you had. You got Miles Austin, you got Mark Sanchez, you got to coach for those guys.
Fair point, valid argument. I will tell you that that pass play, and this is really what the coaches have been saying all week, the pass play itself, it was a roll left. There were three options, deep, middle, short. And Mark tried to go for the touchdown, and it was a poor, and as it turns out, decision. And I understand you want to be a little bit more conservative with Mark Sanchez. At the same time, the run game had just been snuffed. I agree with the idea of going for the touchdown. There were still 4-plus minutes left in the game.
He's Mark Sanchez.
But you trust him to make that pass. It's not going to be his area where he's going to excel. You just spent $5 million, $9 million over 2 years to keep Mark Sanchez in town.
That's fine.
So you can throw screens
all you
want.
He's not throwing his paycheck at
you. You got to find a way to get in the end zone. And Mark,
I would be good with a screen.
He's throwing interceptions on screens, too. They happen. They happen.
That's a fair point. But in the middle of the end zone there, no.
Okay. Well, I disagree. I thought the play call was okay. I thought the execution, the decision was a problem. Well, I mean,
that's my point.
That's on Mark.
Yes, but he's going to do that.
But you can't roll up the tents and never throw a pass with Mark Sanchez because you're scared of a turnover. You won't win games that way.
I believe I've made my point.
Okay, you made your point, and it is a valid one. I respect it. I disagree with it, but I respect it. We return with a look, of course, at the next opponent, the 4-5 Tampa Bay Buccaneers, coming into South Philadelphia on Sunday, 1 o'clock kickoff. When we return, first look at Tampa Bay.